scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Good. Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Speak.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead.
You're on with Daddy.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I can help you navigate the toxicity of this male culture which is encroaching on our feminist island. I mean, for instance, there is something called mansplaining. Have you heard about this?
We know what mansplaining is.
Mansplaining is when a man will condescendingly explain something to a woman that she already knows.
We have work to do.
I just want to say, you, bro. You're a piece of. You're here for the wrong reasons.
Am I in hell? I deserve this.
Still punching the clock, huh?
With all the romance, a two lumberjacks chopping wood. Thank God for KY.
I don't know where I am!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hello.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello.
Roll another one.
Enrique? Hello.
Just like the other one.
Hello, everyone.
This one seems to be about quit.
Hello.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I think I'm high.
Roll another one.
Hello, Canada.
Just like the other one.
Hello to everybody in London. Tokyo.
This one seems to be about Ben.
Hello.
And I don't have another cent.
All good. Here we all are, together again.
Hello.
Just pass it around.
Well, hello.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
You had me at hello.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
There was like a lot of toilet paper, a lot of Vaseline all over the handles of doors. There were chickens.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
I want to party with that guy.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 17th of May.
What's up, hairballs?
Oh, all right.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it.
Okay,
fantastic. Yeah. Happy Norwegian Independence Day. We make a reference to that every year on May 17th.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big day. I don't go
Most
to the...
of us fight to get to it first, but you usually... Mm-hmm.
Right.
Somehow win that.
Well, I've got an alert on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, mm-hmm. don't want to miss it.
Of course.
I used to want to live in Norway, Allie. I don't know if you know that or not. I had a dream about my dog, Chinho, and I living in an ice hut just inside the polar circle in northern Norway. And for the longest time, I was convinced, you know, because you get these messages.
Right.
They come to you, and you think, well, it's God telling me what to do.
Yeah. It's very romantic, too.
I was convinced it was a message from God that Chinho and I were going to live up there, and that was going to be my life. It's just a nice solitary existence, just quiet, just reading books. And
you would last 6 to 7 days total.
You think?
Really?
Yes, I do.
Why? Because no Wi-Fi?
Well, one of the reasons, sure.
Was Donna involved in this dream?
Or I
just
hear her
Chinho?
Name.
Just you and Chinho. Okay.
Yeah. Look, it wasn't my decision. Of course, if you ask me, I would, of course, want my wife to be there. But this was the Lord.
Yeah,
the
it was
Lord
divine. Control. Yeah.
Okay.
All
right.
Yeah. Look, when God came down to Noah and said, build an ark, his wife was not down with the idea, but he was like, honey, it's God telling me to do this. I've just got to follow.
Wait, I'm sorry, because I thought you started with I had a dream.
Yes, but I mean, how do you think God reaches out to you? It could very easily be in a dream.
I see. Okay.
It could be in a vision. It could just be in a thought that just pops in your head. You don't know if it's just something randomly that's being assembled in your head, or if it actually is divine intervention.
Yeah.
In this case, I thought it was God for a long time. I was telling Donna, I hate to do this to you, but Chin Ho and I have to leave.
And Donna's like, follow your dreams.
Right.
Go.
Do you need to go now? Or
I can help you pack?
As you mentioned it, Allie, she was fine with it. That is interesting.
Strange.
No desire to join me.
Huh. Weird.
So anyway, happy Norwegian Independence Day. I apologize that all these years I haven't learned how to say that in Norwegian, but it's a big day for all of us, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I want to introduce you to, before we get into today's All-New Kevin and Bean Show, I want to tell you about Jessica Cox. She is an Arizona native. She was born without arms, you guys. She's in her 30s now. It is still a mystery as to why she did not develop arms in utero. Her mom had a completely normal pregnancy. They had no idea, which is weird because you think that's the type of thing you catch on an ultrasound. But this was over 30 years ago. Then on her birthday, it was an absolute shock to both of her parents. And they were devastated, of course, to find out that their baby had no arms. But she never felt limited growing up. She is one of these unbelievable people who sees that as an opportunity to achieve all of her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
To overcome, she hates the word handicap. She said she never felt like she was limited in any way. She took tap dance lessons. She took Taekwondo classes. She took swim lessons. She was in the Girl Scouts. Every day after school, she had some activity to do. She also, by the way, became a certified scuba diver, a third-degree black belt.
Okay, we get it.
Take it easy. You're better than all of us, okay?
She has traveled to more than 20 countries as a motivational speaker, but the reason that she is in the news right now on CNN is that she also has recently obtained her pilot's license. She began training to be a pilot. It was not easy because she has no arms, if I didn't mention that. And you sometimes use your hands to fly a plane. She said, I had numerous flight instructors and contributors to my training to figure it out. It was a 3-year process to figure out through trial and error what would work. And, of course, she needed the right kind of plane, too. She had to find a plane that was designed with a cockpit in a way that she would be able to reach the controls that she needed to reach with her feet.
Mm-hmm.
But she has recently been certified by the FAA to fly what is called an Urkoop, which is a light sport aircraft. There were a lot of questions. There were a lot of concerns. There were a lot of doubters on whether this was possible. But I did it. And she loves flying. She says, I often think about if I could go back and change my life so that I was born with arms. Now, this is interesting. I would assume anyone, given the opportunity to do. I mean, but she says, first of all, my life would be completely different. And one of the things that I see is so powerful is because I live the life the way I do. It has tremendous impact on other people. I've had role models and leaders, and because of that, it's now my responsibility to be the same for the next generation. So she doesn't say she'd do it again with no arms, but it sounds like she thinks that that's what led her to be the person she is today.
Yeah, probably was a huge motivator for her.
I would think so, too. And we've had this conversation with our friend Brad Williams, too. I mean, he probably would not have even been a comedian, for instance, had he not grown up as a little person. You know, I mean, you don't know what's going to contribute to your life turning out the way you did. And in both cases, it seems like really happy and fulfilling lives.
Yeah.
So how about that? So
when that's impressive.
It's unbelievably impressive. So, I mean, this is a good example, and I'm as guilty of it as most people, probably more so than of, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's me. That's my next tattoo, by the way, is I just can't.
let's give her a hand. Come on, everybody.
Kevin.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
I'm applauding her.
Kevin.
What are you talking about? Give her a hand. That means let's applaud her.
Could you applaud with your feet, please? I think that would be more appropriate.
Wow. Yeah,
that is impressive.
It's Kevin with his feet. It's amazing.
Feet I do much better with.
That's a very inspirational way to start on a fright.
Yeah. Day, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What are we doing here?
We're doing Bean Makes His Guess.
Yes, we are, in just about 15 minutes.
A mom confronts the classroom about bullying her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just barged in and told him what's up. My favorite part, we'll get into the video, though, is she's there to preach against bullying her daughter, and she says in front of the class, the minute one of you turns 18, I'm going to beat your ass. Which may not be on message.
I love it. I love it. I love her. There's a Taco Bell hotel.
Yeah.
I had this conversation off the air yesterday, and apparently most of the staff is thrilled, excited, and can't wait to get to Palm Springs. I need some convincing.
Why?
Exactly.
I'm going to give you three words. Taco Bell Hotel. Right, but what's
that's it?
But there's Taco Bell restaurant, and then there's hotel. I don't understand why that's two great tastes that taste great together. I don't get the tie-in there.
Can you sleep in a Taco Bell?
No.
Okay. When you're at a hotel, is it a Taco Bell hotel?
No,
I rest my case.
I mean, honestly, she just tore you apart.
Thank you.
I don't know why I even am going to mount a defense after that. That was scorched earth,
thank
man.
Thank you.
The worst TV series finales.
Very nervous about Game of Thrones, a show that Kevin and I have been invested in since before it aired, as you know.
Mm-hmm. And by before it aired, you mean before it started this season.
Started this season, right.
Right.
So, Kevin, you and I have 8 years wrapped it up into how these characters are going to end.
Right.
I mean 5 weeks. And what if they blow the landing? You know what I mean?
What happens? Did you see the dude that wants HBO to reshoot the entire final season?
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Did.
And I kept doing the tally over and over of what it was up to, which keep talking. I'll look it up.
All right.
It's over 500,000 now. I know that.
Unhappy with this season, wants HBO to go back and start over with this season.
Rewrite it. Get all the actors back together
who have moved
on. Refilm one of the most expensive shows of all time just because they're not happy with it.
Yeah.
I love it.
That was Dylan, I believe was his name. Okay, so yesterday they wanted to get to 500,000. So
when I saw it, it was only 450,000.
Well, at the beginning of the show, it was like down at 300.
Okay.
They've now upped the number. Now they want to get to 1 million because they are at 795,113. Asshole.
Now, do you think that they're mocking this person by signing? You don't think that many people are this dumb.
Yeah, I do.
You think this many people really expect HBO to go back? And if they reach a certain number, they'll reshoot the season?
I don't think they expect it. I just think they want to be heard. But our friend Jonah. Yeah.
Jonah Ray?
Yes.
Okay,
our friend Jonah.
Tweeted about it yesterday. And if you want to see what people think, look at his tweet, because it is something. And he posted some of the DMs he was getting.
Sweet.
But yeah, his exact words were, hold on, keep reading.
Look,
I should have had this up. Oh, it says, almost 500,000 dorks who don't make stuff of their own believe entertainment should be done to their specific specifications. And then he inundated. He posted a DM, which I gotta say was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, because at the end it said, "See you in your failures." And I was like, that is a tagline now for everything, or so it should be. But last night, one of his last tweets was, "Well, it's been fun, but I can tell it's getting late because Brits are waking up and calling me a C word. Good night, everybody."
What an insane sense of entitlement that somebody thinks they don't like it, so HBO needs to change it.
Cuckoo.
Just don't like it. That's how it ends, people.
It seems pretty simple.
Making friends as an adult, is that difficult?
Apparently so. There are new numbers out on that that are shocking, by the way. And it's shocking how many people maintain friends from decades ago but haven't made new friends since.
Plus, it's Friday, so we keep it 100. It is 5:53.
Is that lightning? I thought he died. He's still alive?
Oh, no, he's alive. Oh. Or he recorded that before his untimely death.
Hey, an all-new Bean Makes This guest coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here with What's Happening on a Friday morning.
Do you feel it, you guys? Just a profound sense of sadness?
Not yet.
Not yet. Did you see Dave walked in and handed me some papers? Wouldn't make eye contact with anyone.
Oh, I didn't. Didn't notice.
Yeah, he's...
rough day.
He's upset, and I understand why.
He's in mourning.
He's in mourning because Grumpy Cat, arguably the internet's most popular cat and one of its first viral memes, has died at the age of 7.
Meow.
The cat's family announced her death on Twitter this morning. Apparently had some urinary tract infection that became too tough for her to overcome. She has passed away surrounded by her loved ones. Grumpy Cat, whose real name is Tartar Sauce, which I don't think any of us knew, quite frankly.
Tartar Sauce?
Tartar Sauce. She rose to fame because her owner posted a picture and everyone's like, that's photoshopped. Obviously, no cat is that grumpy to be alive and be pet.
Right.
Nope, that's just grumpy cat's face. She had feline dwarfism, and that's why she had such distinctive facial features and a small size. But she became a internet celebrity in September of 2012 when Tabitha's brother, the owner, I guess Grumpy Cat, real name Tartar Sauce's fur mom, posted pictures of her on a subreddit.
I wonder how much money they made off Grumpy Cat over 7 years.
Well, they had videos racking up millions upon millions of views. There were Skechers shoes, perfumes, merchandise, a Grumpuccino coffee.
Yes.
On several U.S. TV shows, including, you know, The Today Show, Good Morning America. And last year, U.S. coffee company Grenade was ordered to pay the family $710,000 for exceeding an agreement to use her image.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's just one little bit of money. But at the time of her death, Grumpy Cat, real name Tartar Sauce, had 1.5 million followers on Twitter, 2.4 million on Instagram, and 8.5 million on Facebook. Mm. So
that's more than most of the people who are running for president.
Agreed. Oh.
Times a million. Absolutely.
Yeah. Bitch.
I don't know if we're saying that.
Mm. Yeah. I would just like to say as a pet enthusiast that mm-hmm. 7 is way too young to lose your cat. Like you said, it was complications from a urinary tract infection, but cats should live longer than 7, man.
How long do cats live?
I mean, let's ask Mr. Pickle's owner, Chip.
Oh.
Too long.
Well, too long, yeah.
To torture Chip, that cat's going to stay alive forever.
He's I think that's thriving in him.
I think most cats live around 12 years old, I would say.
Oh, okay.
So this is real young for Tartar Sauce.
Yeah.
But let's all be nice to Dave, and maybe we buy him some food or something this morning.
Yeah, pour one out for all grumpy cat lovers, which I think is a lot of people. Judging from those follows on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
The entire thing was, look at how grumpy he looks.
And then that should have been it.
That's the whole thing.
Insane. But I'm sure it's all Clawsome. Rare.
Oh, dear. Do you think we should check on the lady that puts on CatCon? She's got to be
She's
upset.
All right.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be a tough day for her.
Yeah.
And you know, I love having her on, but I feel like we have a full show.
I think we can move some stuff around.
No, Kevin. No. I'm looking at it. So I tried, but no.
Your anger when she comes in is...
And she's the nicest person in the world.
So kind.
I just can't do it.
But honestly, she thrives on the fact that you can't
she
do
does,
it. So and great. I kind of love that
she
about her.
She tortures me on purpose. And
absolutely.
She does a great job.
Bean, I don't know if you saw this, but you've been talking a lot about how when you move to England, you need a gig, right?
I do. Yes, I'm unemployed soon, yes.
What is better than being the digital communications officer for Queen Elizabeth II?
Yay!
I will never want any other job but that one.
The ideal candidate will find new ways to maintain the Queen's presence in the public eye and on the world stage. Queen Elizabeth, what do you see yourself? What's the biggest thing you need to get out there to the people that a digital communications officer would be doing?
I believe she's asking you, the Queen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I need people to think that I'm normal, just like them.
Okay.
But I'm not.
Even though you're not.
I want pictures of me playing Django.
Is that Jenga?
Jenga.
He plays the male version.
Okay, that's my bad.
Okay, so Kevin wants to appear, or the Queen wants to appear normal.
Right.
Uh-huh. What would you do to make that happen, Bean?
Do I need to do that?
Yes, absolutely.
You do.
Come on, you're not going to get the job as an American.
Right?
Come on.
Oh, that's true. I have to put this past her.
Right.
I got to up my accent game. Right. I'll get her involved in all the memes. I'll have her planking and I'll have her doing the ice water challenge.
That's awesome. You're going to pick up 10 years ago.
Right. I couldn't think of anything current. But wouldn't that be awesome if the Queen were like whatever the hot meme is, like she does the
Tide Pod Challenge?
the cinnamon challenge or whatever. Like, the queen doing all that stuff would be awesome. That's what she needs.
Oh, she'd have to. You want to stay in the public eye on the world stage and appear really up-to-date and hip.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, I don't know that the cinnamon challenge is appropriate for a 93-year-old woman. I mean,
does she want to be current or not?
Okay, that's a good point. I'm worried that I'll get her to do something and I'll kill her. My biggest fear is that I'll kill Her Majesty. Don't think I'm
that's
not
a
applying
pretty big
for
fear, by the way.
Yeah. Don't think I'm not applying for that job, by the way.
Bean, if you did, God forbid, kill the queen, how would you go in and tell the people? Like, how would you break it to them?
Right.
Yeah.
I've got some great news for you. We've got a king.
Wow.
I mean, I'm looking on the bright side. I'm moving forward.
It is a glass half full situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so
You're
good.
Just teaching her all the new dances. Mm-hmm. She breaks a hip. Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
Because Bean knows all the new dances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look at me and Queen Elizabeth doing the nay-nay. It's going to be awesome.
You just went and nay-nayed from how many years ago?
This is so perfect for you.
I need it. Oh, God. How do we make this happen?
This needs to happen. There's no question.
I need to apply. Oh. I mean, there's a link right here in the article. I can apply. So
okay.
I'm on it.
Excellent.
You should do that before the end of the show, though.
Okay.
That's what we're saying.
All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. By the way, Dave, I see you writing Matt Ryan, the greatest quarterback in the NFL, and I'll allow it just for this one because you're in mourning and he went to Boston College, so I'll accept that.
But look at all those Super Bowls the Falcons have won with him.
Well, happy birthday to Derek Huff. He's dancing with the stars. Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails.
All right.
Craig Ferguson, former Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson host. And very good friend of the show, Mr. Bob Saget. Happy
Stop
birthday.
It.
Well, no, I'm just trying to wish you a happy birthday.
Stop it. Oh. New music from Halsey on the show this morning. Also new music from Lana Del Rey. And we'll hook you up with your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast Luau and Beach Party starting at 9 a.m. We've got them for you every hour all day long up until 5 here on K-Rock. Go to K-Rock.com for another chance to win your VIP passes and a hotel stay as well. There's a lot going on, you guys.
Yep.
But first, Bean makes his guess.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes his guess, yeah.
Gets penis slapped.
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes his guess.
Yes.
If there is one thing we have learned over the last 2.5 years, it's that we were doing it all wrong for the first 230 years of American history, where we were hiring people who had experience being president.
Right.
Clearly, the way to go is you hire somebody for a job who's never done anything remotely like it before.
Okay.
And that's why this list on Ranker.com was so fascinating to me, because more than 25,000 people weighed in on what celebrity should run for president. It has been a success so far, getting a reality TV star to run the country. Who should be next? Forget your Bernie Sanders and your Elizabeth Warren and your Mitt Romney and whoever else is going to run for president. Forget all of those people with experience. We need a celebrity to run this country. We're all agreed, right?
No.
I mean, I understand the premise.
Okay. All right. So there are celebrities out there that people have long thought, man, that is the man or woman that has the qualities that I am looking for to lead this nation. So what if they haven't been in political office before? They should be president.
Okay.
Who are those people? Kevin, you sit at the head of the table. You get the first guess. What celebrity should be president?
Magician Chris Angel. Right? Because then he can do magic and it's like, oh, hey, I forgot what we were talking about. He just did a really cool trick.
You know what? I only have the top 20 here. It's possible that Mr.
21st?
Angel was just outside. But no, I'm sorry. Chris Angel did not make the list.
Okay.
Beer Mug.
This gentleman has been bantered a lot in the media about running for president. Dwayne the mother-effing Rock Johnson.
And he says he might do it one day,
That'd
too,
be
by the way.
That'd be
the
awesome.
The Rock is at number 4 on the list. And by the way, from what little I know about The Rock, I think I might vote for him. Seems like a stand-up guy.
Absolutely.
Well done. You are on the board. Miss Allie McKay.
Before this morning, I would have said Grumpy Cat, but now, yeah.
Too soon.
Understand. I mean, he's so likable. How could you not want Tom Hanks being president?
You mean number 1 on the list to go to the
Thank you.
Tom Hanks, President Tom Hanks. Doesn't he seem like the most decent guy in the world?
He does.
He does.
Yeah. All right. Tom Hanks, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. We're looking for others in the top 10. Kevin, you're up next.
I defy any of you to argue with Snoop D-O-double-G.
All right, I'm in.
Awesome.
In.
Right?
Yes.
I apologize. Oh. I'm sorry.
Okay, but how great would that be?
420 really would be a national holiday?
Oh, my God.
It would be fantastic. I also would vote for Snoop Dogg for president. Muggsy.
Let's go the Clune Dog, George Clooney.
You know, surprisingly not in the top 20.
Oh.
What?
That was my next guess as well.
Especially since he comes from a political family. He's very active politically, and he'd be the most handsome president ever.
He would.
But no, George Clooney, not on the list, but that's I think that's a good guess, Muggs. Allie.
Oprah.
Well, number five. Yes, okay. Oprah Winfrey. And at the Golden Globes last year, she gave that speech that ended with a big standing ovation.
Yeah, and everybody's going, oh, Oprah 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Everybody was like, she's got to do it. By the way, I don't think that's a terrible choice either. Honestly, I mean, when you see the work she did on her show throughout the years, I think she seems like she's got the right temperament to be a president.
Everybody would get a car.
That's a great point.
Just look under your seat.
Look under your seat.
They're small cars.
So Allie is in the lead. Kevin, we go to you.
Fred Durst.
Oh.
Yes.
Boom.
Right?
I would say biscuit for weenie, yes. Durst for president, no. Is what I would say. All right, Muggs, what say you?
Just because he was such a great president in Independence Day, Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman is another good guess, but no. There are other movie presidents on the list, by the way.
Oh.
But not that one. Not Bill Pullman, I'm sorry to say. Allie.
Would people think Arnold Schwarzenegger just because he was governor?
He couldn't run.
If they did, he's ineligible to run.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
my bad.
I'm so sorry. All right, okay. One more time around the horn, and then I'll read the list.
I'm going to go with Nick Nolte.
Oh, my God.
And with the impression.
How great would his speeches be? Come on, people.
Yeah,
real good.
That's strong. All right, you got a chance to tie the game here, Muggs. What do you got?
Continuing with the theme of television and movies, Martin Sheen.
Oh, I wish.
Aww. I mean, he did say movies, but he didn't say TV, so that's why I went away. But
darn it.
That would be something.
I do wish, yeah. President
if
Bartlett,
Aaron
2020.
Sorkin wrote it.
Yeah, it'll be good.
All right, Allie, you've already won the game, but final guess.
I feel like if our president came out to do an interview or a speech at the podium, and he had a white Russian, and he was wearing a robe, and he said that, you know, the rug really tied the room together, I feel like...
He's got my vote.
Shepherdges.
The dude!
Okay, stop.
The dude abides, man. What's the why the beeps?
By the way, some of the ones outside the top 10 that I think are Bill Gates is a reasonable one. I think.
Sure.
Judge Judy was number 16 on the list.
Yeah,
but here she'd be amazing.
She would
come out
amazing,
and say one word and go back.
Here's your top 10. I know that
the wheeze.
I know that not everyone will agree with Chuck Norris at number 10.
Of course.
Maybe the toughest president ever.
Isn't he on every list, though?
Yes.
Bill Nye, number 9. Bill Nye. I mean, he's kind of a one-issue candidate for me, but okay.
Right.
Number 8, Denzel Washington.
Something would be
a good president. Number 7, Jon Stewart, which you used to hear a lot more about as his show was ending. People were like, please run for office.
Wow, you never hear anything about Jon Stewart anymore.
That's true.
Nope. You're right. Clint Eastwood at number 6.
He's 104.
He's 88.
Isn't he the one that talked to the empty chair?
He sure is.
I'm in.
Yeah, 88. I don't know that we're going to want to do that.
Okay.
Number 5 we mentioned was Oprah Winfrey. Number 4 was Dwayne Johnson. I mentioned a movie president comes in at number 3 was Morgan Freeman.
Of course.
Number 2, Ellen DeGeneres.
Mm.
What? Can't see it.
No.
A lot of people can, apparently.
She's got a lot of dance parties, though.
Yeah, she would.
That's fun.
And number 1, Tom Hanks 2020. That's your list. This has been Bean Makes Us Guess.
Bean Makes Us.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
I think I'm sorry, Homar, as your fans still call you.
Sure.
I think as a parent with young kids in school, I think you will appreciate this story. The Capistrano Unified School District has banned a mother from the campus of Nagel Hills Middle School after she threatened a classroom full of students over the alleged bullying of her daughter. Now, her name has not been released, but cell phone video was taken by one of the students in the classroom. She just showed up at her daughter's school and class and walked in and started screaming at the kids.
Wow. What the hell?
Now, you would think this would be the type of thing that she would arrange a meeting maybe with the teacher or with the parents of the kids who were doing the bullying or the counselor or somebody.
I wonder if this was her last resort and nobody was hearing her
meaning
out.
She already did all
exactly,
that?
Exactly, yeah. Right? And sometimes what happens, what grade has this been?
The kids that were interviewed on the news looked to me like it was maybe around sixth grade or so.
Sixth graders. Oh, that's still
so maybe
pretty young.
A middle school.
Yeah, maybe like
situation.
Middle school. It's so weird because the teachers at my daughter's school, she's an elementary first grader. They paid attention to us when my daughter was getting bullied right away, mm-hmm. and they nipped it in the bud and
because
they
you're
took
Homer.
Action. Yeah, but I'm wondering if in this situation she went through all the proper channels and nobody was hearing her. And,
possible.
Yeah, and
I'm gonna say I doubt it.
Really?
I'm just going to say any parent that barges into a classroom and starts yelling at kids,
listen,
that seems unhinged.
Man, I don't know, because when it was happening, it's happened to my daughter two times. And I am definitely not that parent that calls the school right away. You know, I talk to my child and I'm very open with her and she communicates with me. And I told her the first time she was getting made fun of because of her dark skin. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, Mia, you know, maybe this kid was having a bad day, you know, try to kind of like, you know, talk to her about it. And she did communicate with the other kid. And at that level of age, they don't know any better. You know what I mean? It could have been like, you know, just a dumb comment that the kid doesn't really, there's no hate behind it, right? It's just a dumb kid.
Certainly possible,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it turned out good. Now they're buddies. In the second instance, though, it was a reoccurring case of bullying. So it was this kid that kept pestering her, calling her names. And so once we caught wind of it, and we gave a couple of days, and it was still happening. And then it got physical.
Oh no!
So
oh.
my daughter got pushed, and then that was like, okay, we got to get on it. We call the school, and
can I just fill in the rest of the story here?
Yeah,
you waited for the kid after school.
Boom! 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 So when I caught wind of this, and how, I mean, my kid is definitely really emotional kid, and it hurt, and I did get. That was my first reaction, mm-hmm. is hate. And I was
of
like,
course.
I want to go punch
yeah,
this kid in the face.
Of course.
Rage, exactly, right. And I feel like, you know, you need to talk to your children because you don't let this kind of like, the kids don't know any better. You need to teach them how to deal with these situations and not, like, for
meaning
me.
Teach your kid how to deal with this situation.
Absolutely.
Because you can't control them or their parents.
So you taught her to box.
Taekwondo, no, yeah. No. So that was me. I wasn't taught how to deal with these issues. So I was Mr. Rage for the better part of my early adult life. Now I know better. You know, you live and learn.
Do you, though?
I would like to think.
Out of curiosity. When did this become an intervention for Omar and not let's play the audio of the lady?
I'm just trying to gauge where...
I was just saying hello to him. That's all I did.
I'm just trying to process what's coming from that side of the room.
Okay. So,
this is an Arby's.
Sorry. So to make a long story short...
Too late.
All right, sorry. You know, Mia, we contacted the school and the teacher were amazing, and they talked with the kid's parents, and they had a little meeting with the kid and my daughter,
well,
and
they're
friends now. I
know?
Think they did,
okay.
Yes. It's very lovely now.
I've got tape standing by.
Okay.
I could play.
I feel like we're out of time.
I do, too. So you worked it out, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, so you didn't barge into a middle school classroom and start screaming at the kids who were doing the bullying.
I did not.
All right, this is cell phone video. It may be a tiny bit hard to understand right at the beginning, but it does get better. Listen up.
No messages online, don't post nothing about her. None of that. Y'all don't know me. Y'all think y'all bullies? I'm a big bully, okay?
That's the way to get to the kids. Y'all think you're bullies?
Wow.
I'm a big bully, okay? That's the way to tell them that bullying is no bueno, is to say that you're a bigger one than they are. I think I love this woman.
This is video from an eighth grade classroom at Nagel Hills Middle School, where Tuesday, a mother who believed her daughter was being bullied barged into a second period class and did this.
She's a girl. Y'all are boys, okay? If y'all bully my daughter, if you look at her the wrong way, if you breathe the wrong way, say your mom to me. Sisters, aunts, anybody over 18, I'll... Mom, do you understand?
That's the best part of the whole thing. If you look at her the wrong way when you turn 18, I'm going to kick your ass.
By the way, if you breathe the wrong way,
yes. I don't even know how that's possible. She may not understand how to combat bullying. I'm just saying.
Leave my daughter alone, and I'm not going to say it again.
While there, she also handed out free butt-kicking coupons.
Come on.
Now I love her.
Omar, was that part of your approach? You get that butt-kicking coupon?
I'm going to change my game plan now. Now I'm all behind her.
She also handed out free butt-kicking coupons, but with a different word for butt.
For free.
And she told us to tell our aunts or our cousins, our sisters, anyone who's over 18, that she'll beat them up.
It was actually kind of scary, but then she just was all talk, so I thought it was kind of funny towards the end. But at first it was scary because some random person comes in the class and starts yelling I don't know what your initial thought would be.
I love that kid because he was disappointed that she didn't bring the bring the pain.
He wanted more.
All she was doing was talking. All right, one more kid.
I think everyone was scared and I wanted proof to be able to show something happened, this is what happened, and have it on recorded document, I guess.
So that's the kid that shot it on her phone. So Omar, I think the takeaway here is you kick a little more ass and you hand out those coupons.
I gotta give me some coupons.
Taco guest experience at a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I can help you.
How weird is that?
Oh, really? Are you kidding me? Because I've been looking so long and hard to try to find this experience. I want to combine a hotel with a fast food Mexican restaurant, and I haven't been able to put the two together.
I mean, Mexican food is in question, but I love it, whatever it is.
All right. Whatever they're actually making their food out of is pretty good.
I like it, yeah.
Are you thinking about taking a vacation to beautiful Palm Springs, California, but wish it could include all the joy of a Taco Bell?
It's pretty specific.
It's very specific.
All right, is this you? Because...
Never been asked before.
Do you need a vacation in Palm Springs, but do you wish it was also tied into fast food so much?
Do you think anyone watching that was like, oh my God, that is me?
I've been wanting that for years.
Obviously. Then good news. They are actually creating a pop-up hotel experience called The Bell. The self-proclaimed Taco Oasis.
All right, stop right there. They had to...
Yes.
Yeah.
They had to put a sound effect of a bell in there.
Yes.
Because it's called Taco Bell.
Right.
And we didn't understand the word.
Correct.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Yeah. They're actually creating a pop-up hotel experience called The Bell. The self-proclaimed Taco Oasis is just the most recent Taco Bell-themed experience for fans.
Taco Oasis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
in a press release, Taco Bell's chief global brand officer, Marissa Thalberg, said, "The Bell stands to be the biggest expression of the Taco Bell lifestyle to date."
I don't believe the enthusiasm for this reporter is there. She's going through the motions, and I don't appreciate that.
She doesn't live the Taco Bell lifestyle that so many of us do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, before we move on with the report,
when
this was brought up off the air yesterday, I expressed doubt as to why this needed to be a thing.
Oh, I'm in.
And I felt like there were a lot of people in the room who were super excited about it. They thought, this is fantastic.
Right.
And I don't understand it. Walk me through why Taco Bell and hotel need to be one and the same.
Well, you staying in a hotel when you're in Palm Springs, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have a house.
Right.
You have to stay in a hotel.
Right.
And you like Taco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all there.
Boom.
Right? I don't even understand the question.
Let's head home, right?
You're making it sound like it makes sense,
It makes
though.
Total sense.
But it doesn't make
sense
at all.
What's the downside?
What am
you
I?
You just go, you know what? Not feeling Taco Bell today. That's the worst it could be.
Am I sleeping on Taco Bell printed sheets or something?
I hope.
What is the, I see. They have a daily happier hour with saucy snacks.
See, they have
saucy snacks.
Right?
Hey, don't
wet blanket. Take it easy.
I just don't understand
it's not
why
for
I
you.
Need a Taco Oasis. I don't get it.
It will be fun, colorful, flavorful, and filled with more than what our fans might expect. The hotel opened in August of 2019.
Oh, 2019? That's BS.
I have to wait till August?
That's I was going to say,
I know it's this year. On this weekend.
And for super fans over the age of 18, they can sign up on their website to get a notification when reservations go live.
Are there going to be people like waiting like the Weenie Roast tickets on sale to make sure they get in first?
I guarantee there are people who have that set on their phones because they want to know the second it opens.
Notifications are on.
Right?
The hotel and resort gives some clues about what to expect.
I wonder what you can expect from a Taco Bell hotel.
Get ready for bellhops and Baja Blast.
Yes, bellhops. See?
At a hotel?
Bell,
Oh,
I get it.
Yeah, okay, emphasis on the bell.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fire sauce and sauce packet floaties.
A floaty for the pool in the shape of a Taco Bell sauce
pack. Yeah.
Yes.
That, you're going to throw that away before you get back to your car to leave.
How dare you, sir? I'm going to take that home, and I'm going to put it on my wall.
There better be Taco Bell-inspired nail art.
Doesn't say that. But I assume there will be.
And of course, they will have some signature menu items. And the best part is, you won't even have to leave the hotel to get your fourth meal.
What?
I just... Guys...
You're in, right?
Yes.
Stop it.
What do you mean, stop it?
You're not in, Allie.
I'm in.
They will have Taco Bell-inspired nail art and fades, plus they're going to have a braid bar, you guys.
A braid bar, Bean?
A braid bar!
You need that more than anyone. Maybe they do your pigtails.
All right, pigtails, now I'm in.
You coming over to my side now? Gloria by the Lumineers on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
I watched the Big Bang Theory series finale last night.
Okay.
First time ever watching?
That? Yeah.
It's your first time. Were you the one that also only watched the finale of Seinfeld?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, I've done that with a lot of shows.
Only.
I may be too late to the party in some cases.
You think?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
pretty good show. Okay. I know it's been America's number one show for like 12 years.
It's gotten like an Emmy every year.
Yes. Yeah. I'm telling you, it was pretty good, and I was satisfied with it.
That's a great review.
But sometimes a series ends, and you hate it, and you're mad for the rest of your life. We will discuss the worst series finales of all time coming up next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Allie's got what's happening here on a Friday.
Friday, first of all.
Yeah, yeah.
You live the weirdest life, Bean. You made time for a series finale of a show that you have never watched before.
Yes. And it's not the first time.
I mean, I didn't know. Kevin has made fun of me for this for years. This is an honest to God story. I watched the series finale of News Radio, and I came in the next day and I said, why didn't anyone tell me this show is about radio?
He didn't know News Radio was about radio.
I had no idea. And Kevin said, the show is called News Radio. I said, I just didn't know.
Bean.
So, yeah, like I said, I'm not always swift.
Okay, got it. Let's turn to Kevin, because I did this story late yesterday, and I was very bummed you weren't here for
it
for a couple of reasons. But comedian Chris Rock is working on a relaunch of the Saw horror franchise.
What you talking about, Willis?
Chris Rock.
Yeah, so he reached out to Lionsgate, pitched him his idea, and here's what the chairman for Lionsgate said. When Chris Rock came to us and described in chilling detail his fantastic vision that reimagines and spins off the world of the notorious Jigsaw Killer, we were all in. He's been a huge Saw fan since the first movie.
Does not strike me that way at all.
Absolutely. Okay. So I'm super stoked for this. Release date of October 23rd, 2020. Now, a couple reasons. Like I said, I was sad you weren't in. First, you're amazing. Amazing.
Come
impersonation.
On.
Do a little jigsaw for the people.
You want to play a game?
Unbelievable.
Can I get that close to the mic?
I have to.
You kind of inhaled the mic, which we appreciate. The other reason is because we had, of course, the real guy, Jigsaw, in here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. However, at the end of the interview, it was odd that, you know, Kevin's been known to hang up on people like, you know, Bono.
I mean, he was done.
Paul McCartney.
For the most part, they were done.
Brooke Shields.
They were finished. Pretty much finished.
But you, I will give you this. You're not positive if they're finished because they're not sitting right in front of you.
Right.
However,
it's on the phone. It's tough to call. Right.
Again, Tobin Bell sitting right in front of you.
Uh-huh.
And you did the equivalent of hanging up on a human being in person. Why don't we roll?
Well, I don't remember that.
You don't? Why don't we roll the first tape?
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Happy all week on K-Rock. So you can catch him saying a little something.
He was done?
He was done.
He said it was a pleasure.
But then, again, we took just the audio from that.
Do we have to do that?
Put the sound on of you going to the commercial. And at least he wasn't sharing his absolute love for the medium of radio. Because that would make it kind of sad, right?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much. I'm happy to be on radio.
Yeah, that's what he said. I'm happy to be on radio. You don't hear that because
He was not on radio at the time.
But, okay. He wasn't here in person, so I was watching him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His lips were literally still moving with your eyes on them, and you were like, he's done.
Look, Kevin's in a hurry.
I got things to do, man.
What?
Tobin, thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Happy all week on K-Rock. Close your windows.
We then
stop droning on about loving radio. We got stuff to do.
We then come to find out dude has been obsessed with radio, like Bean has his whole life. There's nothing he enjoys more than coming on and doing radio interviews.
Yeah, it's true.
If I had that voice, by the way, I would love radio too.
Same.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I just wanted to bring that story up you here.
Appreciate it.
Because it's great. So NBC's long-running news magazine Dateline is launching a podcast today. It's called 13 Alibis. It follows the story of Richard Rosario, who served 20 years in prison, despite evidence that showed, 13 other people may have committed the crime.
Whoa.
13 other people. Yeah, it's going to be told in the first person. They will release 7 episodes, each running about 20 minutes.
I think he needed a better attorney, it sounds like.
It's, a
lot of reasonable doubt there.
Yeah, you'll have to listen to it to find out. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you about how stoked you are if you order a bottle of wine and then they wind up bringing you one that costs thousands of dollars by mistake.
Interesting. Their mistake.
Ah. We're going to talk about that because I would also love to hear from, I was going to say winos, but wine
connoisseurs.
Wine fanatics, wine connoisseurs. Like, would you even notice the difference in taste between the price points? I don't know. I'm curious about it, but I'll tell you that story.
I have a theory on that, and that's that most wine snobs will say yes.
Absolutely.
Blind taste test? We would have no idea.
Okay. Interesting. Well, the reason I want to tell you about it also is because of the restaurant's reaction, which I think you'll enjoy. Some birthdays for you. We have got Bob Saget, Craig Ferguson, and Trent Reznor. And
I wouldn't have necessarily expected Lana Del Rey to cover a Sublime song.
Same.
But are they both like potheads? Is that the thing? Is that the connection?
I don't know.
Allie, do you know?
Oh,
I mean, maybe she just liked the song.
It's possible. Okay. I just thought there might be something deeper. Anyway, we'll play Lana Del Rey doing Sublime's Doin' Time coming up this half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, I thought this was a fascinating survey. They recently interviewed over 2,000 people on friendship. Why the average American hasn't made a new friend in 5 years.
Is this a scientific study?
This is. Yes. Over 2,000 Americans revealed that the average American has not made a new friend in 5 years. I was really, really surprised by that. There's a whole bunch. The further you dig into this, the more interesting it is. How many people, Kevin, do you think the average person considers friends? How many friends does the average person have?
I don't know, like 25 or 30.
Wow, Mr. Popular there.
No, is that high?
16.
Wow.
The average American has 3 friends for life, 5 people that they really like and would like to and like to hang out with one-on-one, and 8 people that they like but they don't spend time with one-on-one or seek out. In other words, they still consider them friends, it's just they don't see them very often, right?
16 friends. Only 3 for life, though. Only 5 that they really like. That's a pretty small circle of friends, I would imagine.
Yeah, it really is.
Most people have remained close with friends they met when they were younger. Nearly half of those surveyed have stayed friends with peers from high school, and a further 31% with peers from college.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Especially
do you,
college.
Why do you bond so much more the younger you are, do you think? What happens at 30 where all of a sudden you kind of shut down and go, well, my social circle is complete. I guess I don't need to know anybody else. I mean, there's 7 billion people in the world. What makes so many people go, I don't need to make any new friends? Or is it that they can't or don't know how to make new friends? What do you think's going on here?
Or don't want to.
Yeah, it could be all of the above. When you're young, you make a ton of friends, and a lot of those you keep forever. And then you kind of get set in your ways, and you do things with the same group of people. Maybe you don't open yourself up to social situations where there's a bunch of new people every time. And it's harder when you get older, because you've got different viewpoints, and there are things that you could write off about someone that you wouldn't when you were young. You'd just be like, let's go on the monkey bars. You know? Wait, you can't see that
as a 30-year-old,
now.
That's pretty creepy.
You can't see that now.
Let's go on the monkey bars?
Yeah.
I want to get into your circle of friends. But Allie, you strike me as someone, and we've known each other a few years now, and we're certainly not friends, but you strike me as someone who meets people through Instagram and through Twitter and then makes plans to get together and meet in real life. I feel like I know of 3 or 4 people that you've kind of become friends in real life with because of social media.
There would be one person for sure. Yeah. Somebody reached out to me on Twitter who I was a fan of, and they said, oh, I watch you every morning on KTLA. I just moved to Los Angeles. Let's be friends. And I was like, oh my God, let's be friends. And she's now one of my best friends. But other than that, not really. No.
Well, I don't want to name names, but I can think of a couple. How about you, Kevin?
He's saying that you're lying.
Okay, let's hear who the other names are.
Well, I'm not going to do it on the air because I don't want to embarrass anybody that you may now say you're not friends with. That's
oh,
all.
Okay, right.
Because I know you've gotten together with people from the online. How about you, Kevin? What's your situation with friends? Because you started with saying you had 25 friends, or the average person does, which seems like an awful lot to me. Is that you? Are you a 25 friender?
I mean, yeah, I think so. Because I go out a lot and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I meet people at Kings games.
Yeah,
I meet
you've got
people
Kings
at Galaxy's
friends.
Games.
You've got poker friends.
Yeah,
you have different friends for different scenarios.
I got a dude when I was in Barcelona from Italy. We've been texting back and forth for a long time. He was sitting there by himself. Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're doing it.
Thanks, Dave, for clarifying that.
All right, how about you, King? You have an interesting perspective on this.
I have about 2 new friends, but they're both couples. Like, they're both... They're 2 couples.
Okay, that you met because of a couples thing.
Yeah,
and it was
really
probably your
them.
Yacht trip.
No, it wasn't from that. Okay. But we met these couples and we like them, and now we are friends with them. So and I don't need any more. And these are people we actually like hang out with.
That's
and,
the thing is,
and go out with. I mean, I got other friends that we see from time to time and we'll have dinner. But these are the people who we invite over and just on a Friday night or to hang out and have some drinks and that's it.
Close friends.
Exactly.
Close friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about like when you play basketball and stuff like that? Would you ever like get together with any of those people after the game?
Like the smelly dude.
Like, yeah, what about the smelly dude?
Like, I would go have a beer with the smelly dude, but then I'd be like, all right, dude, thanks. I wouldn't invite him over or anything.
Yeah, I would burn your apartment down.
So that's not really a friend.
No.
And I feel like once you've been in a couple relationship for a long time, you don't seek out other single friends because why would you go out with them
exactly.
when you're
looking
doing
for
more
a threesome?
Couple...
That's why.
Not what I was saying, but all right.
Ooh,
shocking.
How about you, little Chip? You have no family. Do you have any friends?
Oh, how dare you? Wow.
That's how you're going to do it. She has Mr. Pickles.
How dare you? Well, in my situation, most of my friends, I have a lot of friends from, you know, elementary school, junior high, but we're at the age right now where they're all getting married and starting to have kids and stuff, and they don't want to hang out with the single person.
That
they're
sort of doing, separate.
They're doing the couples thing, which was fine. But I started playing ice hockey 2 years ago, and that's how I made my friends, like, instantly. And I don't know, because, like, especially in Southern California, ice hockey is such a small, like, playing is such a small niche thing.
Yeah.
And you're playing with people, like, we all... started playing together. So
the
all,
same passion.
Yeah, we're all awful on the ice, having a great time. And then through that, and then going to Ducks games, and then doing my podcast, and everything like that. Like, I've made friends that way.
But I think it comes down to, do you want to make friends? No?
Yeah, if you have a no new friends mentality, you're not opening yourself up to meeting new friends.
Right, but if you do, then you can.
Well, let me close with this. These are the top five reasons it's hard to make friends as an adult, okay, according to this recent survey. Number one on the list is being introverted or shy. That's 42% of the people. So it's not necessarily that they don't want to make new friends. It's just it's difficult for them because how do you make the first move? You can't say, let's all get on the monkey bars, right?
I mean, you can. It's just they would call the police.
I think there's a lot to this about being introverted and shy. People don't want to put themselves out there to say, hey, I know we know each other from this situation, but how about we go out for a drink or something like that? Because people are afraid of being rejected or afraid of it being weird or afraid that they're not going to have anything
to
talk about.
You know.
Just people. Well, I think we're assuming people like people, right? All right, number two. Most people just want to go to a bar, and that's not my scene. So this sounds like it's great what Chip's talking about is because they have something in common. Kevin, same thing with you. You meet people playing poker or whatever. Yeah. It's not a bar situation. Number three, I feel like everyone has their friendship groups already formed. That's also 33%. So this person...
Wait, meaning everyone else has theirs and I don't fit in?
Exactly. Okay. Meaning that they're all set. Right?
You're at Debbie Downer, and maybe you shouldn't have friends. Oh, everyone is friends but me. It's not nice. Come on. Buck up.
Number four, my family takes up a lot of my time. 29%. So that's just somebody saying, I'm not making friends. I don't have time.
But that's also, I feel like that's just an excuse.
Yes.
You can use that as an excuse.
And number five, I don't have any hobbies that allow me to meet new people.
I'm saying most of that's on you.
I agree.
If you want to have friends, you can have friends.
How about docking?
Lana Del Rey, brand new song coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, we want to talk about TV series that you are invested in and you get to the final episode, the finale.
What could you be talking about?
And it sucks. By the way, what's the petition up to? Take a look, if you would, please, Allie, while we discuss this. This is on our mind because Game of Thrones, as you know, after 8 seasons on HBO, is getting ready to come to a conclusion this Sunday night. And based on the viewer reaction to the shows already this season, I don't think anybody's expecting to walk away happy as a result
of
Sunday night.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
It seems like there's no, like they boxed it, they botched the season so badly, how are they going to save it? How many people have signed the petition now to have this season redone, Allie?
815,211.
Unbelievable.
Is there a number at which HBO goes, we got to remake the final season?
HBO is laughing their ass off thinking about the ratings juggernaut that it's been, first of all, and the fact that so many more people are talking about it now. I can't even imagine what the ratings are going to be Sunday.
It's just insane.
Absolutely. And Kevin, I want to ask you this before we get into some specifics and take some phone calls in the worst series finales ever. You have often said, and this applies to you when you go to the movies, that expectations...
Yep.
Play a big part in how satisfied or dissatisfied you are with an entertainment.
Probably the biggest, yeah.
So there are people who want to sit down on Sunday night and look at their HBO and be blown away, and anything less than that, they're going to walk away feeling gypped. Right?
Yeah, well, blown away by certain things, though. I think they get locked into, this is what I want to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it could blow a whole different other group of people away, but just not you.
Right.
Right.
And then
you
go, oh, okay, that was disappointing. And that's the end of it. You don't sign a goddamn petition. Makes no sense.
So we want to talk about the worst television series finales ever. And there is one caveat, and that is these are shows that knew that it was their last episode. In other words, they planned on the show ending that way that day.
So it wasn't canceled and they
not
weren't
shows
able
that were canceled. Exactly. Got because it. There are a lot of shows that have ended on cliffhangers that it just sucks. I mean, you know, old school MASH is a show that's been held up forever as being one of the great finales of all time. Breaking Bad, I think, was another one that people loved. They loved the finale of that.
Six Feet Under.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Six Feet Under, absolutely one of the best. I mean, and it was such a brilliant ending that I don't think any of us thought of. You know, it made so much sense when it happened, but I don't think any of us expected to have happen what happened. The Newhart finale was another one that people said was one of the all-time greats. Remember, he wakes up and he thinks the entire thing was a dream. He wakes up with the wife from his last series.
I found that funny.
Amazing.
It was genius.
It was absolutely genius.
All right. When you start talking about the worst, and this is what we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. The one that comes up frequently in this conversation is Dexter. You remember?
I do, and I loved that show.
It was a great show. Yeah. Michael C. Hall was a serial killer, but he only killed bad people. And it was genius week after week, year after year. In its eighth season, they added like 5 minutes at the end of the series, spoiler alert, where Dexter is a sad lumberjack.
He just sailed to another part of the country and became a lumberjack.
Yes, he went to Alaska and he grew a beard and he was like standing on a dock eating clam chowder and it was just like, what happened?
I loved that because who could have seen that coming? The whole series you thought he was going to be arrested.
Yeah.
And he's just like, hey, you know what I'm going to do? Chop some wood.
I really need to kill somebody.
Just eating chowder.
It was so funny.
I agree.
People were like, you have got to be kidding me with this Dexter. And it really did. I mean, as much as we all remember how great that show was, it was a little bit of a poop in the punch bowl, right? I mean, it really did kind of diminish the greatness of that show because it blew the landing.
Yeah, I don't think so because I love the series anyway. Mm-hmm. And every single week was really interesting and they were all great actors. To me, the ending didn't ruin anything. It may not have been a 10 out of 10, but it didn't ruin the series.
Okay.
That's absurd.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. We want to hear from you when you start talking about series finales. What have been the ones that have been most disappointing to you? Let's take one before the break, and let's make it Dan. He's on line one, Pico Rivera on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, good morning, guys. All right, so I got another HBO show, which kind of bummed me out.
Okay.
I was the biggest fan of Oz, the prison show, back in the day.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we all love naked men.
Oh, yeah. And it was violent. It was dramatic. It was great. And then the last episode, it's like kind of weird disease thing. They go put on buses. Everyone leaves. And we don't find out what the hell happens to any of the characters after that.
So they just left.
Yeah, they just left. It's like, oh, okay, guys, get on the bus. See you later. All the clothes.
Was it a, forgive me, I didn't watch Oz. Was it a jailbreak? Did everybody get out? I mean, like escape or something like that? Or was it just some sort of, everybody got pardoned by the governor? How did it happen that all the characters left the jail at once?
The governor gave a pardon to the whole jail.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how they would all leave at once. I don't understand even the plot device.
There was an anthrax scare through the mail. So they put all the inmates on buses to go to different prisons.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And then you never found out.
So they broke up the gang, and that was how it ended. Yeah, I could see that would be pretty disappointing. Yeah, no winners or losers there.
Yeah, except for all the violence.
Right, the violence is awesome, right?
Yeah, he wanted to see some people get their heads busted. All right, Dan, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Worst TV series finales of all time. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Ted, Lana Del Rey, let's take one phone call, and let's make it Frank in Torrance. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Frank, we're talking about the worst ever TV series finales. What do you got?
So I just rewatched this. I watched this as a kid, so, you know, it took me back. But I was watching Home Improvement, and that ending's got to be the worst. I know, that's throwback.
Wait.
I should have called yesterday on this, right?
Okay, wait. All right, hold up. So you were disappointed by the Home Improvement finale?
Yeah, it's the worst.
What happens in the Home Improvement finale, in a few words?
So at the end, Tim Allen thinks he's losing his job. So, of course, he has his own show within the show called Full Time.
Sure.
And so that season finale for him, like, was a great show. So they offer him a deal to become, like, you know, a part owner of the show. But
right.
At this point, like, his wife's agreed to take on a job, you know, outside of state. And so he's supporting her. And they're, you know, reminiscing about all the good times they had at the house because at this point, he's accepted.
We don't need the whole episode.
No, he's going to do a scene.
We were asking for, like, why was
I'm
the...
Knock it out.
So did he quit the show and move out of state? Is that how it ended?
Thank you, Bean.
Why it was disappointing?
It ends with them, like, not being able to leave the house. So they physically put the house on a tugboat, and that's the end of it. That's the last scene. The house on a tugboat, like, going to...
Oh,
you
thank
know,
God you went back and watched it again, right?
Waste of time.
Really, Frank?
We thought it was a good use of time.
Thank you, Frank. We appreciate you listening. We promise you new Lana Del Rey. Here it is. You might not expect her to cover Sublime, but she does on the world-famous K-Rock.
Lana Del Rey... doing time. on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:38.
That is a part of a new Sublime documentary just called Sublime that premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival. So we'll hopefully get a chance to see that soon. All right, we're talking about the worst series finales of all time. We've gotten some good ones so far, plus Home Improvement. Let's go to line two. Give me some Alyssa, please, in Venice. This is one that I've heard a lot of people talking about, a show I didn't watch, so I don't remember why the finale was so bad. But Alyssa, you're going to fill us in. What's your choice?
How I
didn't watch that series. What did it set up, and then how did it not deliver?
You basically watch eight seasons trying to figure out who the mother is. Only spoil alert, by the way, come to the last season, you find out that the mother dies, and then he just asks his kid to date Aunt Robin. The whole story is just that he can date the aunt.
You have no idea how confusing this is to us right now.
But you sound very angry, and that makes it better.
Are you still seething over the list? Like, is it still really upsetting you?
It eats me away because I literally was watching it on TV, and I'd wait the week. Who does that? I was so excited to come to that. It was the most disappointing.
And Alyssa, it's mostly because Ted and Robin had the most dysfunctional relationship for those eight seasons. And then all of a sudden at the end, he's like, hey, maybe let's get together. My wife's dead of cancer. You in?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Okay. All right. Thank
I mean,
you.
She had more to say.
She did.
She was very angry. And
I'm sorry. Thank you, Alyssa. All right. Let's go to Anthony, please. Line four. This is Whittier. I can't believe this one hasn't come up sooner. This is a series that I did watch every episode
Same.
Of and was as disappointed as Anthony when it ended. Good morning, sir.
Yeah. The absolute worst ever has to be Lost.
Lost was such a phenomenon. Everybody seemed to watch that. And they got to the end and it was like, really?
We're in purgatory or something, wasn't it? Isn't that what it was? Is they were all in purgatory. They weren't really on an island or something?
They're all dead?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler
there
alert.
There were so many things that they were trying to, like, sew up. The writers just, like, gave up. Like, forget it. Let's just put them in purgatory.
All right, listen, they're all dead.
Yeah, they're all dead. That's
spoiler
it.
Alert.
Okay.
And we never found out what the smoke monster was all about. We never found out why there was a polar bear on the island. There was just like
I do feel like there were zero answers to all of the questions.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If I see one of those writers on the street, I'm just going to slap them in the face.
Well, that sounds very
Seems
reasonable.
Aggressive, but okay.
Thank you, Anthony. Let's go to Garrett, line 5, 1-800-520-1067. This is another one I haven't thought about in a while. But a lot of people agree with Garrett. What show do you want to add to the list?
How about Seinfeld?
Seinfeld. Now, what was your problem with it?
It just kind of ended terribly. They all ended up just in jail for like a year.
Well, I thought it was overnight, but I mean, or a year. I mean,
or purgatory. Who knows?
Wasn't it like jaywalking or something? I don't think they give you a year.
I think that they witnessed some fatty getting mugged, and they just sat there and laughed at him the whole time instead of helping.
Yeah,
and
so
they threw
I guess
him all in jail.
The point of it was they were all awful people, and this was their payback or something. But yeah, I don't remember anybody being excited about that. And by the way, that was the first and only Seinfeld episode I ever saw. I was really confused by that.
Sure.
All right, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Steve, Long Beach, line 7. Up next, worst series finales of all time.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? What'd you do, nephew?
What'd you do?
My worst one was Battlestar Galactica, the new one. The first hour was great because you have all this, like, battles, and I was, like, totally nerding out.
I love
that
show.
The second hour, it was horrible because you have this advanced space race that decides that, hey, let's give up all of our technology. And these Cylons that have been fighting for relevance for years are like, hey, let's just go fly into the sun. It was like, are you kidding me?
I mean, the way you say it does sound dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like, you know, the space race, we're going to survive on this planet as Stone Age people. What?
Yeah. I want Steve to recap all of my TV shows from now on.
I do too.
All right, Battlestar Galactica, that's a great one. Thank you. Let's go back a few years and bring up James, line 1. He's in Westminster. This is a show that people may not know. Denzel Washington was on it. Who else, Allie? There were a bunch of stars that came out of St. Elsewhere.
I don't know.
I don't think I ever watched it.
I never watched a single one.
James, tell us about St. Elsewhere. Why was it great, and then why was it awful at the end?
Howie Mandel, Ed Begley Jr., it was a fantastic show from the 80s. It was a hospital dramedy that really set the pace for ER, Grey's Anatomy, shows like that. Great show, great acting. The last episode, though, it was extremely rushed. They really put all the characters' arc in a bow. They just really rushed it. In the last scene, one of the main doctors was now all of a sudden a construction worker, and he had an autistic son throughout the entire show. And the last scene was the autistic son shaking a snow globe, and inside the snow globe was the hospital where they all worked. So you were left to assume that the whole series took place in the autistic son's mind.
I didn't see that series, but that sounds dumb when you say it.
None of it was real.
It's possible that none of it was real.
It was all in the kid's imagination. Now, forgive me if I don't remember this correctly, but didn't Buffy the Vampire Slayer sort of end like that, where she was in a mental institution and had imagined all of that? Or am I completely wrong about that? Come on.
No one knows.
Help me out here.
Zero
watch
people
Buffy?
Nah. No. I mean, yeah, we watched it, but I don't remember the finale.
All right. Thank you for the call, James. Appreciate that. That's a great one. Let's do one more. Let's make it Leal. Is it Leal on line 8?
I believe so.
Azusa. Hi, Leal.
Hi, it's Leal.
Leal.
Hello. Good morning.
Okay, Leal. What's the worst series finale of all time?
So this show was absolutely like all-time top 5, but The Sopranos. I mean, come on. They ended.
A lot of people did hate that. They hated that ending.
Because
they were like in a diner.
Yeah, is it just because you're left to figure out on your own if Tony did indeed die at the diner, or did he not?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
That's the problem.
Okay.
I think yeah.
But you didn't enjoy the, not positive. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate that. That really bugged you?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you a very unpleasant flashback right now. Hold on to that feeling.
Oh, God. And 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Don't forget, Friday mornings on K-Rock, we give you the opportunity to help us pick the music with Keep It 100. About an hour from right now, we'll be looking for any song we have. If we have it, we'll play it for you to get us into the weekend. Also, right around 9 o'clock, K-Rock Weenie Rose Luau and beach party tickets for you to join us June 8th at Doheny. Allie.
Bean.
It's my favorite What's Happening of the whole week.
Well, I enjoy it as well, because at this time, every single Friday, we talk about our That's My Jam playlist. And this playlist is all the members of the Kevin and Bean Show. We pick a song every single week. Could be something brand new, could be something that we forgot about, and we're like, oh, that is my jam.
Did you see Ruben picked another Al Jolson song this weekend?
No. He picked the Lumineers, by the way. Goodness.
He's old.
I see what you're doing. Yeah, okay. But every week we update it, and you can find it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social media. You're going to have about 6 hours of music. Press that button, follow it, and then you're going to have a new song from each of us every single week. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too.
It's That's My Jam. Kevin, you are up first.
I'd like someone else to go first. Who's second?
Really?
Yeah, let's go with the second place.
We can't. They're all in order over there. Do you want to talk about...
No, I'll do it.
I can tell you what your band is. It's is that you...
Ex-Ambassadors.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Ex-Ambassadors.
What's the problem?
I didn't remember the song title.
I was going to tell you.
But I can help you.
It is... Okay.
Hey, Child. I just said Chip. I was like, oh, go ask Dave what I picked.
Welcome back,
Kevin. The song title. No, I'm good. Hey, Child.
Uh-huh.
Ex-Ambassadors. And I know you've been hurt and think you deserve it. How did it end up like this? Everything will be fine if you just get through tonight. Hey, child. Hey, child. We were born wild. Let your neon lights keep shining bright. Oh, hey, child. Can't wait
see that band at Weenie Rose. They are great.
His voice is incredible.
Yes, I was going to co-sign with that and say, as great as they are on record, they are every bit as good live. Do not miss them at the Weenie Rose. They're so much fun.
Maybe better. Maybe better live.
Yeah, they're one of those rare bands. Yep. That I remember seeing them. I don't know if they did something special here, like not a Breakfast With, but where they played a couple songs just for us. And him singing.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need a microphone.
Correct.
His voice is so powerful and so moving. What a talent. Yeah, good stuff. Sure. Bean, you're up.
Somebody else go. Somebody else go. I don't know what song is. Dave, the King of Mexico, and I have bonded over our love for a new artist out of Norway. Her name is Girl in Red. Every song on Spotify by Girl in Red is great. She is 20 years old. She is a lesbian, and she's, like Billie Eilish, one of those kids who's just making music in her bedroom and putting it up online and has amassed a worldwide following. Again, she goes by Girl in Red. Her latest song just out this week is called Dead Girl in the Pool.
This is the morning after. My mind is such a disaster. But there's someone outside that caught my eye. There's the dead girl in the pool. The dead girl in the pool. The dead girl in the pool. I don't know what to do. The dead girl in the pool. The dead girl in the pool. The dead girl in the pool.
Kind of a peppy number.
Yeah, she definitely sounds like a lesbian, too. I'm glad that was pointed out.
She is very, very out. She's very, very out. It's a large part of her social media presence. I mean, it's kind of her thing.
But somebody caught my eye, and it was the dead girl in a pool?
Dead girl in a pool. Yeah. Which, by the way, terrible ending to an otherwise great party.
My God. I love it. All right, Bean, you are also going to tell us a little bit about Jensen's pick, because he's out today.
Jensen is off today, but he has picked a band that many of our listeners will already know. They've been popular for a number of years. They are called Baby Metal, and they are an all-Japanese girl heavy metal band. Okay?
Okay.
You're probably so tired, Kevin, of
so
all-Japanese girl heavy metal band.
So far, you've got me.
They sell out 50,000 seat arenas in Tokyo. That's how popular they are. And they're doing pretty well around the world, too, opening for bands like Metallica and for Korn. Again, the band is called Baby Metal. This song is called Elevator Girl.
I'm going up.
Now play it at normal speed.
Normal speed.
That is Baby Metal, Jensen's pick this week. And I'm telling you, when you put our playlist on shuffle and it comes up next to Ruben's Al Jolson song, it's kind of a shocker. I mean, it really is a mood changer.
Again, Ruben picked the Lumineers Nightshades.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's right.
My band is a band that was formed in 2017. It's a Korean and British duo of a guy named Jamie and a guy named Theo. They're an alt-pop duo, and their debut EP, What's On Your Mind, was released a couple weeks ago. They're being called like galactic rock heavy pop. Also, here's how they were described. Think Magical Mystery Tour era Beatles mixed with the frenzy of Captain Beefheart and the playful spirit of the Flaming Lips. And I bring you all of this mostly because I don't know how to pronounce the name. It's either Wooz or Woozy. I have looked everywhere. There's no explanation, but it's spelled W-O-O-Z-E. So Wooz, you'd think, but...
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I would think so.
You never know with kids nowadays. But their songs delight me. There's a song called Ladies Who Lunch With Me that's out on the EP that's amazing. But I picked a song that I'm digging right now.
It doesn't a dead girl in the pool, does it?
Well, it's called I'll Have What She's Having.
Okay.
I'll have what she's having in the city hall. A ring on my finger and a ceremony for all.
I can't Can't you hear K-Rock playing that in 1983?
Yes.
Sure.
I can. Good batch of songs, you guys.
Good batch. Again, it's at Kevin and Bean on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. It's our That's My Jam playlist. Check it out. It is up now and linked for you. Some birthdays, Trent Reznor, Craig Ferguson, and our friend Bob Saget.
Hey, a quick reminder, if you tune in at this time of day, perhaps you missed the stuff that happens in the 5 o'clock hour or the 9 o'clock hour, because who can listen to the whole show?
But that's the stuff you don't listen to is amazing.
It's always
so
the
good.
Best.
Oh, yeah. So always good. So yeah. Better than what you actually hear.
Right.
But I just want to remind you, we do have a Kevin and Bean podcast, and it is available wherever you get your podcasts. You can go to radio.com. That's one spot. The K-Rock website is another. iTunes. But it might be worth subscribing and downloading, and that way you don't miss a precious minute. Right now, though, your Afro calls, 323-520-AFRO. You can call us 24-7 on any topic. Leave us a voicemail message, and we'll play it back on the radio like this guy.
Hey, guys. I was at a bar in Colorado, and Superstitions came on, and I said, all right, Afro line. Everybody else at the urinal gave me a really weird look.
Amazing.
See, the urinal.
Theme song is Superstition.
You know, sometimes the inside jokes that we do here mm-hmm. don't translate out in the wild.
Yeah.
Like, I was having dinner with a friend, and we were fighting over who was going to pay. Mm-hmm. So I reached over and hit his credit card out of his hand.
Amazing.
Like we do here.
Sure.
We knock each other's phones out.
Right.
And stuff. He looked at me like,
you're an animal.
What are you doing? Why would you... How come you would do that? No idea. I was like, oh, it's a thing at work. Okay, never mind.
Listening to Monday's episode and Bean had the hiccups, I have a remedy that's been working for 40-plus years that my dad taught me. All you do is you get a plate, put some water in it, put it on a table, and then lick it up like a cat or a dog. Within 30 seconds, your hiccups are gone. I pass this on to so many people, and it always works.
Is he clowning me?
I would think so, but try it.
It's worth it if it stops your hiccups.
Absolutely.
I still think we need to take calls because there are a lot of people who have what they say foolproof methods of stopping hiccuping.
I will tell you the funniest one that people do try is they try to scare the hell out of the person that has the hiccups. And that does work.
Does it?
Startles them and changes their breathing patterns. Yes.
Huh. Have you tried licking up out of a bowl?
Mm-hmm. No, but I'm going to now. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Kevin and Bean, I really don't like your show.
Young man or woman, what happened there?
Wow.
Last Friday, I made a tiny error in that before I came to work, I drank NyQuil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that served me well.
Yeah, you thought it was DayQuil.
Correct. And that was also the day that we had Patrick Warburton in.
Uh-huh.
Hey, guys, it's me, Patrick Warburton. I just left the studio, but I couldn't help but notice that Kevin was pretty tired. Should have said something. I would have rocked you to sleep. Na-na-na, little baby, go to sleep now in my arms, Kevin.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
That is pretty good.
Happy Friday, chuckleheads. We drunk. Let's party. Friday. Yay, yay, yay.
Is that Dave?
Probably. I'm not sure.
Sounded just like him.
Hey, guys. So I'm a podcast listener, just heard the bit about the woman with the snake or alligator in her pants.
She's pulled over by the police.
Mm-hmm.
They said, are you hiding anything else? And she pulled an alligator out of her yoga pants.
Yeah.
And I like that they specified yoga pants because they want you to know that the pants are tight.
Yes.
This is not a loose-fitting pair of pants.
Well, I wanted to call in because I don't have a snake or an alligator, but I do have a camel in my pants. And if you look a little closer, you could probably get a sneak at that, too. This is Hulk Hogan, by the way.
I love her so much.
Isn't she awesome?
So, that was a 1-2 punch right there, man. Double toe and Hulk Hogan.
So, there was a day that Bean was out, and then Allie was out, and then Jensen was out.
Uh-huh.
So, I did the show with Megan Holiday, and other people would come in, and Omar brought in a story, and I don't feel like this girl appreciated it.
So, I just want to make sure I'm understanding correctly what just happened. So, Bean's out, Allie's out, Jensen's out. So instead of doing the best of the Kevin and Bean show,
you guys decide to talk about poop, shake, and some going down your nose via some sort of like tube, you guys, we gotta be better than this.
You guys heard of that, right? We would have done that if you guys were here too.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I need no more info. No.
Look,
no.
You need to know more info?
No.
Okay, when you're having trouble.
No, I need to know more.
You need to know more. When you can. What?
This is the problem anytime you put Homar in front of a microphone.
Yeah,
he'll figure
poop.
Out a way to turn the conversation around to poop. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty interesting story.
Hey, what's up? This is a Zoo Club member here. What is wrong with everyone? Guys, our leader has fallen. Mm-hmm. You're just going to leave him behind? No, this is time to rise up. We have to help Kevin rise up. Radion, Dirk, everyone. We're going to help Kevin get back to the top of the Zero Club. We're going to help him learn to ride that fine line between zero and empty. Come on, Kevin. You got this, baby. Everyone, help him. Kevin. Kev, dog.
First of all, I think there's a coup that is happening where Omar is taking control of the Zero Club. Since Kevin ran out of gas, he clearly has lost sight of what the Zero Club is all about.
I'd like to say two things. One is we did a scientific survey, which is binding, which said that I may remain as president. Second, when I left here on Wednesday, it was on zero, and I made it to a gas station. I'm back, people. I'm back.
Zero Club, baby! That's how we roll, motherfucker!
I'm sorry, that's my president.
That's what this guy says, too.
Hey, party people. Catching up on the podcast this morning, and unfortunately, I do have to say that, Kevin, you are out as president of the Zero Club.
Wow.
You did go from hero to zero of the Zero Club. Now, my man Omar is living the bylaws of the Zero Club. He's teaching the generations. He should rightfully be the new president of the Zero Club.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah, he makes good points.
Omar's never run out of gas. And he does, and he drives on zero with his kids in the car.
Yeah, I know.
That's commitment.
I know. He should be the president just for that because that's idiotic.
Right?
Frankly.
Hi, Kevin, Bean, Allie, Jensen. I just wanted to follow up on the conversation regarding people being irritated by loud mouth sounds and loud chewing.
We were talking about deal breakers, and this is a thing that she said.
It's absolutely a real thing. I absolutely have it. It's called misophonia, not to be confused with misohornia, which is what Allie's parents have. Ew.
Oh, no.
Mom has got it going on. Allie, do you think your parents are taking a nap?
I don't think we need this whole
taking
thing.
A nap.
Do we?
Or maybe they're having fun in the sack. Boning in the sack. It's the latter, cause your mom's got it going on. Going on. And I don't think you knew this, but your dad's got a huge dong.
No.
Huge dong. Oh, how can you think they're really napping? Because we all know that they're up and boning.
Boning.
Allie's mom has got it going on. She's got all the right sex moves and can go all night long.
No.
Allie, can't you see your mom is so sexy? You might think it's wrong, but your dad's got a huge dong.
All
what's
right.
That sound? It's an email coming in. Subject line is napping, but we all know they're boning. Bumping uglies.
I think we get it. Long.
We don't talk about the songs.
Allie's dad's got a huge dong.
This doesn't end, does it?
Dong.
Look, it's right here.
Oh, jeez. Damn you.
323-5208. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53 on a Friday.
Yes. And I see where you're going with it. I like it.
And at this time on Fridays, we do Keep It 100.
This is where you get to pick your favorite Owl City song and text it into us.
No, sir.
I mean, technically it could be a different song, but why not Owl City? 1-800-520-1067. Any K-Rock song, if we still have it, we'll play it. And by the way, this might be a good chance to say, this is open to everybody. I know we have a lot of people who listen to this feature every week but have never thought to text in. Why not you?
Unless it's Owl City, and then don't.
Why not make it your week? Why don't you, if you've never texted us before, why don't you text us at 1-800-520-1067. Text her 100. We play your song. Here are some of the ones we played most recently. She's out back coming. So text us your name and your song, and we will get back to you to make sure that you can go on the air and talk to us and introduce the song. Anything you want, if we've got it in the K-Rock library, we will play it for you. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number. Allie's here now. Time for another look at what's happening here on a Friday morning.
So we talked about it yesterday, and we brought it up again this morning, the petition on change.org. That a gentleman named Dylan D started to have Game of Thrones redo this last season. He was so upset with the way the show's been going.
Not just an episode, no, the whole season.
The whole season.
Okay.
This series deserves a final season that makes sense. Subvert my expectations and make it happen, HBO. So yesterday, they had wanted 500,000 signatures.
Is there a number at which HBO is going to do it?
Nope.
Of course not.
Of course, they had to bump up the numbers because they were close to getting 500,000. They now want 1 million signatures, and they have 831,003 so far. And Kevin said, I mean, they aren't serious. There aren't people. You thought people were just doing it for a joke.
I would sign it, but just to sort of mock that guy, because he could get 10 million signatures. Yeah. Nothing's going to happen.
To which I said, maybe check out Jonah Ray, our friend. Check out his tweets. He tweeted 17 hours ago, almost 500,000 dorks who don't make stuff on their own believe entertainment should be done to their specific specifications. He had 639 comments on that. A lot of those
were
telling
dorks.
Him where to go.
and where to put it.
Yes. He then posted some DMs that he's gotten, which are fantastic. One of my favorite ones was last night when he realized, oh, it's time to go to bed. He said, well, it's been fun, but I can tell it's getting late because Brits are waking up and calling me a C-word. Good night, everybody. But this morning, it continues. His latest tweet, somebody tweeted to him, season 8 sucks and you can shove it up your ass. To which he responded, well, I think I'm going to have to wait for the DVD to do that. He's just baiting these people, and I love it so very much, you guys.
I mean, these people are crazy.
They're not. They really like Game of Thrones.
You're right.
They want to change.
But you could be completely disappointed by a TV show, and they're not going to have to change it for you.
It's easy for me if I don't like something to go, oh, boo, and then move on.
Right.
And nothing in my world has changed.
Remake it like I want it.
No.
No,
no
is the answer.
Entitled a-hole. I hate to be the bearer of bad news if you're just waking up and you don't know this. Arguably the internet's most popular cat, one of its first viral memes, has passed away at the age of 7. I'm talking about Grumpy Cat, you guys.
Not Grumpy.
Yeah. You might be saying, 7? What? Yeah, despite care from top professionals as well as from her very loving family, Grumpy encountered complications from a recent urinary tract infection and too tough for Grumpy to overcome. By the way, yeah, sir. Yeah. Let it out. Yeah.
It's okay.
I know. It's hard. I know.
Oh my God.
Oh,
no.
Finn, I know. Grumpy Cat, real name, Tartar Sauce.
What?
I don't think anybody knew that. Well, I'm sure, like, big Grumpy Cat stans knew.
Why?
But that was just her real name. But Grumpy Cat had feline dwarfism, which is why the owner said accounted for her distinct facial features and small size. Of course, they posted a picture of Grumpy Cat. People freaked out. They're like, that is one Grumpy Cat. Videos got thousands of views, up to a million views in 48 hours. Her popularity was sealed by her participation in South by Southwest in Austin, where people stood in line for hours to get their picture taken with her.
What is wrong with people?
Where she mostly ignored everyone and just looked away looking grumpy.
I am shocked that our producer, the King of Mexico, never got his photo taken with a Grumpy Cat.
It's crazy. It is crazy. Grumpy Cat became such a cultural phenomenon. She inspired art projects, perfumes, merchandise, Skechers shoes, comics, and even a Grumpuccino coffee. At the time of her death, Grumpy Cat had 1.5 million followers on Twitter, 2.4 million on Instagram, and 8.5 million on Facebook. There is some dispute as to the net worth of Grumpy Cat. People have said it's over $100 million. Grumpy Cat's owner has said, no, that's not true. It's nowhere near that. But it's definitely in at least the tens of millions.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sad bassoon. Well, she was the spokescat for Friskies, for God's sakes. That's
come on, Kevin. Get it together.
Come on.
She had best-selling books, too.
Yeah. Like calendars. Everything.
Yeah. Mugs. Everything. Clothes. Yeah, the whole deal.
Yeah.
I'll bet each month was something great in that calendar.
Yep, very different.
I bet that cat looked grumpy.
June, still going to be grumpy!
Oh, grumpy, yes! So how far and wide is this family driving to go to every cat shelter within five states to look for another sad cat?
Well, I hope they're looking for a happy one. Just be like, oh my God, we got one that smiles.
They're not going to make money with a happy one.
Oh, but a smile. Have you ever seen smiling dogs?
Smiling dogs are amazing.
Yeah. Just joy. Yeah. They've got to go the other route.
I don't know. I think they're going to places and they're going, janky, I need the jankiest you got. Show me a cat.
Janky cat.
Show me a cat with a lot of trouble.
Show me janky.
Tartar
sauce,
though.
Show me a cat with a lot of trouble.
Tens of millions of dollars.
Show me a cat with a lot of trouble, see?
I need a trouble cat. Is that what's troubling you, Bunky?
I don't
Who says Bunky?
I don't know.
And who was that? That's from the bit. That's what Allie was doing about.
Let me
hold on. I might even have it.
No, let me hear you do it again.
Is that what's troubling you, Bunky? Here we go. Here's from the song.
Is that what's on your mind, Bunky?
See, there you go.
What song?
It was a very popular routine back in the day about a sad philosopher.
In 1850? What day? Exactly. What the hell's going on? Give me a date.
Ruben told me about it. I don't remember the specifics, but it was a spoken word, like comedy recording about a guy who had all sorts of bad things happen to him. And it was, is that what's troubling you, Monkey? That's what it sounded like you guys were
saying. Why do some people tune out?
It's a great question.
It's not a great question because that is a very simple answer.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Is it by chance a guy named Eddie Lawrence?
And the song is called The Old Philosopher.
What year?
That is it. Yes.
What year?
Still looking. You go about and do your business.
Well, I see something that says 1956. Is that?
Yes, that's right. September of 1956.
Yeah, that's what I was doing, Bean. I was doing old Bunky riffs. What is wrong with you?
Isn't that what Allie was doing?
I was just adding to the fun funkiness.
I thought that's where Allie was coming from.
Where she was coming from at all.
Was the old philosopher.
She's never heard of it. None of us have.
Thank you.
I mean, it's just an hour away, though. Couldn't we?
Is that what's on your mind, Bunky?
Come on. You guys get it.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
It was a thing.
You're a miracle.
Oh. It was a thing.
God, I love you.
Stop talking to Ruben.
Holy crap.
That's what screwed me up here.
That boy's leading you astray.
If Ruben could hear, he'd be so touched by this whole thing.
He does keep his hearing aids down during the show.
He does. Some birthdays for you. Trent Reznor, Craig Ferguson, and Bob Saget. And that's what's happening.
Love this time of the week because we do keep it 100. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:09.
Let's hear the theme song for that, shall we?
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
keep it 100.
A delightful assortment of texts coming in this time. Thousands of people respond every week, by the way, but we promise Texter 100 gets to pick the song. 99 was Jeff, who wanted Love Fool by our mortal foes, the Cardigans. I kind of wish it had been Texter 100, because I'd love to recap that story of the time we had to interview the Cardigans, but not this week, I guess. Texter 101 was from Texas, by the way. Parker, looking for Belly Feed the Tree. Which, by the way, I wouldn't be mad at all, but there can only be one Texter 100, and it is our friend Jennifer. She joins us on the phone from Santa Clarita. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey.
What's going on with you?
Just driving into work, listening to you guys.
What kind of work do you do?
I am a court reporter.
Court reporter. Like a stenographer?
Yes, exactly.
That's rad.
That is rad. is that really hard to do?
Lost you.
I'm sorry. Oh, what? I think we lost you. Say again. I'm sorry. I was asking if it was hard to do.
Yes, it is very hard to do. Thank you for asking. Everybody thinks it's easy, but it is not. It's very difficult.
She wants everybody to know this is difficult. It's very difficult. All right.
Appreciate us, damn it.
The next time Kevin sees you in court, he will give you a nod.
How dare you.
All right. You can pick any K-Rock song. How did you come up with the one you chose for this week?
It's just my favorite band. Whenever I hear it, I get happy, and it just never gets old. It's an amazing song.
All right. Why don't you introduce it for us and the K-Rock listeners?
I would love to hear Mountain Song by Jane's Addiction. Best band ever.
Keep it 100. 100.
That is one of the great K-Rock bands of all time, Jane's Addiction and Mountain Song. Thank you to Jennifer from Santa Clarita requesting that as Texter 100 this week on Kevin and Bean's Keep It 100. All right, Allie, I know you love Jane's. You grew up with them. Mm-hmm. They're one of your all-time favorites. Place it for me.
That would be late 90s. Either 88 or 89, but I'm going...
You said late 90s.
Late
88,
80s, my
or
bad.
89.
Late 80s.
Trying to clarify.
You've my
got
bad.
Two decades going here.
I'd like to go 1974 through 2008. It is late 80s, so 80s, it's 88 or 89, and I will say 1988.
You couldn't be more on the button because it's December of 1988, ladies and gentlemen.
What? Happy Tuesday.
And here's a fun fact. Mountain Song was the very first song written by the band all the way back in 1985. Before they even had a name for their band, they had written that song.
And it wasn't, Mountain Song wasn't even off Jane's Addiction, though, right?
It was off of Nothing Shocking, yeah. They initially recorded it back in 1986 and released an early version of it and then re-recorded it for their Nothing Shocking album in 1988. So there you go. Great, great song. Great, great choice. We'll do it again next Friday for Keep It 100.
Keep It 100.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know, I barely listen.
We've come to another close of the week, my friends, so let me break it down for you as it officially ends. Bean went on a trip that was almost lethal, but made a fast and furious move like he was Vin Diesel. While Kevin and the B-team had guys' night out and got locked in for hours by a car chase route. And Kev Dog ran out of gas in his car, so now the Zero Club might be overthrown by Omar. We asked who loves Avatar, then heard crickets. And if Pikachu ain't in it, I'm not buying a ticket. I mean Detective Pikachu, I'ma emphasize that. You could tell the difference if he's wearing his hat. How about deal breakers when picking a lover? Steven A. Scott, he suffered. I hope the word Velcro is just out of your grasp. If you missed that, download the podcast.
Nice. Our friend Jensen Karp, RIP.
He's just out today, Bean. He's still alive.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
Yeah,
he does
good.
A great job with, with the wrap-up every week. And a great reminder for you to check out the podcast at radio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts, including iTunes or whatever you use. Check out the podcast. You'll dig it. Allie's here with our final look at what's happening on a Friday morning. What's going on?
Well, we have something else we can get mad about.
Yes. Oh, good. I love outrage.
Yes.
Let's get mad. I want to write some strongly worded letters over the weekend. Who should I be addressing them to?
To Matt Reeves, because he's close to naming his Batman. While a report declared that Twilight Saga star Rob Pattinson has been set for the Batman, Deadline hears that the filmmaker and Warner Brothers have not gotten to that place yet. Pattinson is on a very short list, but so is Nicholas Holt, who's about to open in the X-Men First Class film Dark Phoenix. So, Rob Pattinson, more like Battinson, or Nicholas Holt. Those seem to be the two front runners, you guys. Here's the thing. Reeves and the studio are looking for a Batman in his early 30s this time around.
Okay.
Rob Pattinson is 33, so by the time they shoot and it comes out, he'd be mid-30s.
But how old will he be by time he puts enough time in at the gym to be able to play Batman?
You think he might be a little...
he seems a little scrawny for Batman.
A little flimsy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I wrong on that? I think he's a good actor. To me, he's not Batman yet.
He just looks kind of gray and sickly.
And he's the old son. And a meal
like
or two.
Like a vampire or something. Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. And I think a lot of Batman is the suit that isn't really your body so much... Anyway?
Yeah, but he. You look at him. Is he Bruce Wayne? Even he's not. You got to have that Bruce Wayne handsomeness.
See? Here you go. He's already mad. There you go. Write the letter.
Outrage. Write the letter.
Write the letter.
Write the letter.
I'm outraged.
What about this Nicholas Holt guy?
He's better, but he doesn't. He's no like to me. I want to see, and I don't know if you can do this because again, this is a DC Marvel thing. But I want to see like a Ryan Reynolds or a Chris Evans or somebody like that who has got it. You know what I mean? Who seems like he could be Batman.
Hmm.
Ryan Gosling could be Batman.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal could be Batman. You know what I mean? These are the kinds
ben
of people
Affleck
I'm thinking.
Could be Batman.
Well, he was.
What's that?
Yeah, he was. They got rid of him for this one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, those names I mentioned, aren't they all more exciting to you, more intriguing to you than Robert Pattinson?
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
I don't either, but I would say yes.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he couldn't do it. It just would take some work.
Okay.
Out. Workout.
Definitely some workout.
All right.
Glad. Andy Samberg. Let's all just agree on Andy Samberg.
Yes.
In.
So between Avatar and five Fast and Furious movies, as well as some lesser titles that made a lot more than you might think, like SWAT and Battle Los Angeles, Michelle Rodriguez is one of the highest grossing actors of all time. She's an essential part of the future of the Fast and Furious franchise.
She's great in that.
And she used that clout for a little bit more female representation. Back in June 2017, she wrote on Instagram, "I hope they decide to show some love to the women of the franchise on the next one, or I might just have to say goodbye to a loved franchise." Well, seems like Universal Pictures was paying attention. Michelle Rodriguez has agreed to return in the 9th installment of the Fast and Furious movie franchise, but only after securing an agreement for a female writer to join the production.
All right.
That's how you use a little clout in the biz. Right?
And make sure your movie's not as good. Wait, what?
No, I don't think
that's what we were saying.
What we're saying.
Okay.
That's the opposite of...
Gotcha.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. We'll take that out in post. Yeah, don't worry.
Please.
No one to hear it.
Guys, some drama behind the scenes of Fox's upcoming Beverly Hills 90210 revival. It's bad when your showrunner and several senior writers have quit.
Oh.
Already?
Haven't they only been in production a few weeks?
At most.
Wow.
Yeah. It's not looking great. They have already quit the 6-episode series. The exact reason for the mass exodus is unclear. One source said the dispute was over the fact that two of the lead actresses are, quote, running the show, while another noted that the writers were unhappy with one of the executives overseeing the project. That sounds like a fun place to be.
Sounds like a mess, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you want it, you guys. We've discussed that none of us are really wine connoisseurs. We wouldn't really know a $2 chuck from a $500 bottle of wine.
Correct.
But one extremely lucky diner ordered a $333 of wine.
That seems way expensive.
Seems way expensive, yeah. Right? At a steakhouse on Wednesday night. And instead received a mythical Bordeaux that was worth about 17 times as much.
Wow.
A menu price of roughly $5,750.
It's wine time, mommy.
So, it was only after the meal that a manager discovered that a staff member had grabbed the wrong bottle. Whoopsie.
So they had already drank it?
Had already drank it.
What are you going to do?
You can't do anything, right? And... do you really? I don't know if I'd know a 333 bottle of wine from a 5,500, whatever.
You're bad with numbers, but we understand.
Bottle. I don't think I'd know from a $2 chuck. I don't think I would.
I know I wouldn't.
Yeah. But I think it's how the restaurant handled it that I thought was great. They wound up sending out a tweet and said, "To the member of staff who accidentally gave it away, chin up. One-off mistakes happen. We love you anyway. To the customer, hope you enjoyed your evening." Nice.
That was a multi-$1,000 mistake. I feel like most businesses would have fired that
service. Oh, it doesn't say anywhere that they weren't fired.
Okay. Just wrote something just in nice the tweet. On yeah. Twitter. Chin up. We love you anyway. Sorry you're no longer
Goodbye.
Working here. But I just thought that was nice.
That is nice.
Too yeah. much wine?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's it?
Right.
Okay. Very well. Out of curiosity, how much money would you need, in your opinion, your net worth, how much money would you need for you to consider yourself wealthy?
$1,500? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You'd feel wealthy with $1,500?
No, I'm just kidding.
It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know because if I feel like whatever you have, you wouldn't feel like you have enough. Don't you think? Like, yeah. If you had $10 million, don't you think you would go, yeah, but I need 25?
And
I think $10 million is way past the point at which I would feel like I was wealthy.
Right.
That, which was
okay.
The question.
Right. Yeah. That's the question. Okay.
I mean, if I won $10 million in the lottery, I would feel like I am wealthy and will never have to work again. You know.
I mean,
that's to me. That's the definition of wealthy: is never having to work again.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say honestly, $5 million. Okay. I would be wealthy.
Okay. See, I think we're also a little skewed out here in LA because of the cost of living and everything. So things are very different. This was an annual survey of 1,000 adults. They were asked how much their net worth would have to be for them to earn elite status in America and be considered wealthy. The average answer, $2.27 million. And when you consider that the median net worth of the average U.S. household is less than $100,000, which, I mean, some, it's 20,000. Some,
yeah.
it skews, but that is quite a jump. But here's why the people at Schwab, Charles Schwab, that did the survey, they said, well, here's perhaps the reason why so few people have actually attained wealthy status, because it lies in the answers of the next part of the survey. What would you do if you suddenly came into a $1 million windfall? 54%, I'd spend it. 28% said pay off debt. 23% would invest it. And only 21% said they would save the money. I think that's pretty telling as to why none of us are, you know, super wealthy. Because
I'd burn right through it.
Would be like, spend it. I know what I'm buying right now.
I'll put it on my nose.
Wow.
Huh?
I mean.
Look, my philosophy is no one knows how much time they have.
Right.
So you don't want to die with a bunch of money in the bank.
No.
So you ought to spend every penny you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
Just in case. Yep.
That's good advice.
All right. Let's go through some birthdays, shall we? Founder, frontman, Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor. Former host of The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Strangely, Craig Ferguson is his name. And one of our favorite people here on the show. You know him as Full House's dad, Danny Tanner. But mostly you know him as Kevin's real good friend.
Stop it.
Bob Saget, happy birthday.
He is a dick.
I don't, Kevin, I just said he's a good friend.
That was an audio clip that was played from another time.
I think that was you.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
So that's true.
That wasn't me.
He amputated his own leg.
That is
true. He did? Uh-huh. Bob Saget did?
Yeah. He's the man who invented Booyah.
Well, we know that, yeah.
All of the above.
All right.
Bob's got a lot going on.
He sure does. That's what's happening.
Thanks, Ellie. The SoCal Hopeful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We have suffered.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. It over to me.
Obviously.
Roll another one.
Put it in my belly.
Just like the other one.
Daddy's talking about poop again, guys.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Stinky.
And I need another.
A name from the past from WAVA that I like, Flash Phillips.
Yeah.
I like, but again, you got soft sounds there, but it's a catchy name.
Would Flash Phillips work in today's market?
Because right. Flash Phillips was fired after he was on Unsolved Mystery.
Roll another one.
Millennials are so stupid.
Just like the other one.
This is where Jensen gets dumb.
This one seems to be about
spent. I believe in you.
And I don't have another cent.
You remind me today of a small Mexican chihuahua.
What are you?
Just pass it around.
I am a racist. I am a racist.
And the bull guard that joined, my friend.
You're damn straight about that.
And just pass it.
Wow. It was just an endless parade of suffering with no one offering any help. It was like the Flint, Michigan of broadcast.
The question is on the motion to adjourn. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The motion is adopted.
It is not hyperbole to say that that was my Vietnam. I close my eyes, I can still hear the screams.
Of happy children?
Yeah, you hear them too?
Bong, bong.
It started off as a mountain, and it ended up being a mouse.